Sometimes when we read passages of Scripture, they seem very simple on the surface. For example, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I sat down a couple of days ago at my desk looking at this verse, making it the subject for our article that comes out on the bulletin this week. And I was really surprised because I had intended only to deal with one specific element of this, but the deeper I went into it, the more I realized that there is enough material. As a matter of fact, it's going to take two sermons. This sermon now is going to deal simply with, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Then next week we'll talk about old things passing away and new things coming. But if you think about it, the reason it's a deep and a complex subject is because, first of all, it deals with that phrase, in Christ, which I want to expand on a little bit this evening. Then we'll talk about being a new creation. And the word here is the same word for Genesis in Genesis chapter 1. And I think it's the same concept. I think the same power that God used in the material creation is used on each one of us. When we become a Christian and we enter Christ, we become a new creation. And we'll develop that a little bit more this evening. Then in our next week, we'll talk about the other two. So let's talk about this phrase, in Christ. It's a complicated term. I'm still wrestling with it after all these years because there's three possibilities and maybe it's all the same. Are we in Christ as a spiritual relationship with Christ? Are we in Christ as a spiritual fellowship with Christ? Or is this a spiritual location? That we are alone in Christ and the rest of the world really cannot enter into this spiritual realm. And so it's called in Christ. And I really think it is a spiritual relationship. I think that we enter into a special close relationship. We enter into his body. We become a sheep in his sheepfold. We become a brother or sister in the family of God. And many of the figures there in which Jesus is the husband and the church is the wife. And there's all kinds of multifaceted relationships that are all summed up in the term, I'm in Christ. But there's also a spiritual fellowship. Because now he in heaven as our Lord and we on earth doing his will, again, the body of Christ, we are his hands, we are his feet, we are in him, and he is in us. Remember Jesus saying that in John chapter 17. I pray that they'll be one. I in them, they in me, and they in us. Then the third point is a spiritual location in which we are dwelling. The world is in darkness. The world has no relationship with God. The world is in a spiritual, spiritual vacuum, a spiritual death. They're not really in the spiritual realm at all. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. But we, after we're made alive, we are now alive in a spiritual location. Just like when we die, we move to a new location. We go to Hades. And in Hades, there's two places. And so the same thing here. When we enter Christ, we enter into a spiritual relationship with Jesus. We enter into a spiritual fellowship with Jesus. And I believe we also enter into a spiritual location. You say, well, where are you drawing this from? Well, let's look at a few examples. And again, I'm not interested in the details so much tonight as I am the magnitude. I just want you to kind of get a sense of how often this term is used and how many different ways it's used. Paul says in Romans 16:7 about two of his fellow workers, they were in Christ before me. Now, what does he mean, they were in Christ before me? In 1 Corinthians 4, he says, in Christ Jesus, I begot you through the gospel. Then he speaks, and I'm not going to spend, Galatians 5:6, in Christ circumcision avails nothing. When he writes the Ephesians, he says, the saints in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. And again, I said I wasn't going to get into the details, so we won't. But let's keep looking at some of these things, and you can be reading ahead while I'm talking and looking at the various things that it's dealing with here. Paul talks about the dead in Christ rising first. Well, that would have to be some kind of a location. The dead in Christ are going to rise before anyone else whether they're alive in Christ or whether they're dead out of Christ. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But then added to that are the spiritual blessings in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Of course, we know the difference between a physical blessing and a spiritual blessing. A physical blessing, he lets his sun rise on the evil and the good, and the rain comes on the just and the unjust. But the spiritual blessing, eternal life, forgiveness, mercy, compassion, love of God. Matter of fact, we'll talk a little bit more about some of these blessings in just a moment. But those blessings are only found in Christ. Is that a location? Is it a relationship? Is it a fellowship? Is it all three? Well, as I said earlier, I think it may be all three. Here's some of the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Redemption, eternal life, no condemnation, the love of God, sanctified, made alive, a new creation, then alive to God, liberty, blessings of Abraham, grace, forgiveness, perfection, the promise of life. So when Paul says, when we enter Christ, we become a new creation, he's talking about relationships, he's talking about fellowship, he's talking about a location, he's also talking about all the blessings that God has in the heavenly places stored up for us, and they're only given to those who have been gathered together and placed in Christ. So clearly, the question of the hour would be, how do we get into Christ? And let's just talk a little bit about some of these things. It's a close spiritual relationship. It's a fellowship and a brotherhood. Jesus is our brother. Remember in Hebrews, it talks about the fact that Jesus suffered. He partook of a body in order to bring those of us who want to be like him into fellowship. And he's not ashamed to be called to call us his brethren. And we can't be a new creation until we're in Christ, because until the blood of Christ purchases us, we can't be a new creation. And until the blood of Christ purchases us, we can't enter Christ. And you look at faith, you look at repentance, you look at confession. Nowhere, anywhere in the scriptures does it say anything about faith or repentance or confession bringing us into Christ. Even after all of those are done, we're still dead in our trespasses and sins. Paul makes that very clear in Ephesians, in Colossians, and in Romans, that you can have faith, you can have repentance, and you can have confession, but you're still dead in sin until you are baptized. So we take these passages in Romans, Galatians, and Colossians, and we look at them. As many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. These scriptures are profound. I'm going to make an application a little bit later. When Naaman dipped the seventh time in the Jordan River, he became a new creation. The leprosy was gone. God performed an act of power on his body and allowed him to be freed from that leprosy. And I think that's an excellent parable about what's going to happen in baptism. Let's just read the verse. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So when we're baptized, we die with him, we're buried with him, we're crucified with him, we're raised with him, and we come up out of that water a new creation. putting all of these things together makes us recognize that at the point of obedience to the gospel. Now, as I said earlier, faith, repentance, confession are steps. They are necessary steps. But until we pass through baptism, we are not in Christ. We have not been buried with him. We have not died with him. We have not been crucified with him. We have not been raised with him. And therefore, we are still in our sins. Now, Colossians says almost the same thing. He says here, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, some people like to look at these two verses and say, well, it's all symbolic. I don't think it's symbolic at all. I think it's spiritual. I think in the water of baptism, God performs some amazing spiritual things which we can't comprehend because we can't see it. Now, when Naaman comes up out of the water, you can see that God actually did something in that seventh time under the water. But what God says here, and let's put all these truths in order now. Let's just kind of put them out here. I'll let you look at this. Even after believing, repenting, and confessing, you're still dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. Now, these are not my words. These are Paul's words. This is how the Holy Spirit wants us to understand that as we're hearing the gospel, I hear the word of God. I'm dead in my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm still dead in my sins. I repent of all my sins, but I'm still dead in my sins. I confess that Jesus is the Christ. I'm still dead in my sins. But when we are buried with him in baptism through faith in the working of God, our old man was crucified with him. And after we died with him, we were made alive with him. As we are raised up out of that water, we are raised with him to walk in newness of life. That's what we have to do before we can enter Christ. That's what we have to do before we become a new creation. Before old things can pass away and everything becomes new, we must go through this ordinance. And it's amazing to me, I think we've talked about this many times in the past, Satan has gained a tremendous victory by making baptism such a controversial subject. And in America, and actually all over the world, multitudes of people have been taught to believe that none of this even exists. Just accept Christ as your personal Savior and confess him as Lord. That's all you have to do. But the Holy Spirit said, no, that's not all you have to do. Just like Naaman. When Naaman said, I'm not going to go dip seven times in that muddy Jordan River. Well, he would have gone home a leper. He believed in the power of God. He went to the prophet. The prophet told him what to do. He wasn't going to do it. What would have happened? He'd have gone home a leper. After believing, repenting, confessing, we're still dead in our trespasses. Because we can't be made alive together with Christ until we are buried with him in baptism, die with him in baptism, crucified with him in baptism, raised from the dead with him in baptism. So at the very least, what we are to see here is that what Jesus did on the cross, he died for our sins, he was buried, he was raised again on the third day. When we die with him, are buried with him, and are raised with him, now we have fellowship. Now I am in Christ, and I am a new creation, because what I was before I went into the water, I'm not that same person anymore. I have a new relationship, I have a new fellowship, and I'm living in a new location. Now my citizenship is in heaven. My citizenship isn't in heaven before I become a Christian and before I enter Christ. But Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, my citizenship is in heaven. My name's written in heaven. And I have come,
Hebrews chapter 12,
to Mount Zion, heavenly Jerusalem, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to the angels, to God, and to Jesus, the mediator, and to the church of the firstborn. All of that. Because what God put into the water of baptism is much more powerful than what Naaman went through. So when we look at the verse, and I just want to hit this one more time. After we believe, after we repent, after we confess, here we are in Romans chapter 6, dead in our trespasses. So we are buried with him through baptism into death. And then God performs that powerful act while we're in the water. I think Paul deals with this in Titus when he says in Titus that we went through the water of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus says you're born again, I don't think that's a symbol. I think that's real. I think that in John chapter 1 verse 12, when it says to those who believe, he gave the right to become the children of God. Believing doesn't make you a child of God, but it gives you the right to become a child of God. So this passage in 1 Corinthians, we are a new creation. I believe that we're supposed to understand from that we went through the water of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. We were born again. And as born again people, we are no longer dead in our trespasses because we were buried with him through faith in the working of God. Our old man was crucified with him. So we died with him, we were made alive together with him, and when we come up out of the water of baptism, we are a new creation. Now, we've got to try to figure this out. I mean, these blessings don't really mean much to us if we can't really grasp what does it mean to be in Christ? And what is the true power of baptism? We talk about baptism washing away sins, but how does it wash away sins? It's not the water. It's what God is doing because we're in the water. And my fellowship with Christ is not because of the water, but what the water is able to do. The water is able to bring me into contact with the blood of Christ. The water of baptism is able to bring me to his cross, where I can be crucified with him and die with him. It is able to bring me to his tomb where I can be buried with him. And it brings me to his resurrection because I am raised up with him and I am now walking in a new life. And we're going to be no better than Naaman if we can't get our minds around that. If we can't wrap our minds around the fact that after I'm baptized, I live in a new domain. I live in a spiritual realm now. I'm alive in Christ. And I am now, God's hearing my prayers. And when I worship him, I'm seen as a light in the world because I'm in a domain. Now, there's other people often with us in this worship assembly who are not members, who have never been baptized. But God doesn't see them with us. They are not a part of us. Unless they've been baptized, they're not in the same realm. They're not alive in Christ. They have not yet gone through the power of baptism. And so, kind of putting this together, and you've seen some of these charts before, but let's just take a look at this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I declare to you the gospel which I preached, which you received, in which you stand, in which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So, this is the gospel. And of course, the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. And he rose again the third day. That's the sermon in Acts chapter 2. Jesus of Nazareth, man approved of God unto you by mighty works, wonders, and signs. You killed him. God raised him from the dead. He's at the right hand of God exalted. What should we do? He's asked. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's the gospel. That's all you need to know to be baptized with Christ, to be buried with him in baptism. And that's the gospel Paul preached. It's the gospel Peter preached in Acts 2 and Acts 3 and Acts 10. It's the gospel Paul preached in Acts 13. When you look at the sermons in the New Testament, they always lead to the same location. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. And so this resurrection, this death, burial, and resurrection is critical. But then when we make baptism, we join this to baptism, we see the point. Here's the gospel. Christ died on the cross, buried in the tomb, raised from the dead. In baptism, we join him on the cross. We're crucified with him. Remember Paul saying, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Well, how did that happen? How did Christ get into Paul? How did Paul get into the situation where he was crucified with Christ? In baptism. We were crucified with him. We were buried with him. We were raised with him. And now we're a new creation. We're not the same. We'll never be the same. You know, once a person is baptized into Christ, he's a Christian. He can fall away. And it can become better if he'd never heard the word before. But the relationship that he has with Christ never changes materially, and that's why the sins after baptism are so much worse than the ones before. Because they compromise a relationship that could not have been compromised before they were baptized. Because they entered into an entirely new realm, a new fellowship, a new relationship, every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are, the church is in Christ, the eternal purpose is in Christ, and we now are in Christ. And so, again, when we look at what the scriptures say, as many of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. I don't think that's symbolism, brethren. I think that's a spiritual reality. Just like I don't think the new birth is just a picture. I think we are literally born again of water and the Spirit. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And God has tied this all up, just like he did with Naaman, with the water of baptism. As many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death, we were buried with him through baptism. I think it's critical, brethren, that this be a part of our understanding. It makes the Lord's Supper different, and it makes Paul's statement in Romans chapter 4, where he says, it wasn't written for his sake alone that it was accounted to him for righteousness, but for our sake it will be accounted to us who believe that God raised him from the dead. This is our commitment. Baptism is our commitment that we believe God raised Jesus from the dead and that he raised us from the dead and that we've been raised to walk in a newness of life. That's why the old things pass away and everything becomes new. But if this doesn't mean anything to us, if this isn't as powerful today, you remember Peter saying, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins? Have you forgotten the tremendous power of baptism, what it did for you? I think as the years go by, baptism becomes brighter and brighter, more and more powerful, more and more amazing and awesome and deep and glorious. We were buried with him in baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. That's where the old things pass away and everything becomes new. Our old man was crucified with him. First principle doctrines. Very simple, but profound. Because Like everything else God does, there's always more under the surface than we can really understand. We watch somebody walk up here. We watch them get in the water. We ask them if they believe that Jesus is the Christ. We see them go under the water. We see them come up out of the water. We don't see what God is doing. But by faith, we know what God is doing. That person is dying with Christ, joining Christ on the cross, joining and touching his blood, that fount that brings remission of sins and purchases us. Paul goes into this in great detail in Romans chapter 3. He talks about propitiation. He talks about redemption and ransoming. He talks about the appeasement that this act brought when Jesus did it. And then in chapter 6, he talks about how what Jesus did in chapter 3 now becomes part of what I have. Now it's applied to me. But I have to make that final decision. So, the parable of Naaman, I just want to look at the first at his scoffing. Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and it shall be clean." But Naaman became furious. And he went away, saying, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord Jesus, or the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" And he turned and went away in a rage. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the pride of man can certainly get in the way. And I've seen people get just as mad when we talk about baptism and the power of baptism. How could water bring about our salvation? It's all faith. Water doesn't matter. Well, that's what Naaman thought too. His servants came near him and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then if he says to you, wash and be clean?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. So old things passed away. Everything became new. I think there's an illustration here. I think there's a parable here. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Indeed, now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant." So that brings us full circle. If you're in Christ, how do you get into Christ? You're baptized into Christ. Why is baptism into Christ making me a new creation? Because I die with him, I'm buried with him, crucified with him, raised with him. The resurrection that Jesus went through was a real resurrection. My faith in that resurrection brings me to a resurrection. I can't die anymore. I have eternal life. He who believes in me shall never die. That's the difference between all those people who aren't in Christ and all the people who are in Christ. When we die, we see angels who take us to a new place called paradise. When they die, they're dead. They wake up separated from everything good, from everything wholesome, from everything that is near and dear to them forever. It doesn't start after the judgment day. It starts after the moment of death. And so the location of God's people is completely different than the location of those who are still in sin. So these three scriptures, as many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Just mark that down. You can't become a new creation or a new creature. You can't have old things pass away and anything become new until you're baptized into Christ Jesus, baptized into his death, buried with him through baptism, and putting on Christ. So here's another verse. Let's compare these two verses now as we bring this lesson to a close. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So you see how these two verses tie together? We are God's workmanship. God does something to us. When we're in that water of baptism, see, God could never do that before Jesus died on the cross because there wasn't any power. We sing the song, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Yes, there is power in the blood, because when that blood was shed, the soul, remember when God set this all up with Israel back in Leviticus? He said, I have given you the blood of, don't eat it, because I've given you the blood of bulls and goats for the propitiation of your sins. I've given it to you to use. But there was no power in that blood. In Hebrews it says, the blood of bulls and goats could never forgive sin. The blood was important. But the life behind the blood is what mattered. Jesus had the life of the Word, who was with God and was God, dwelling on an equality with God. That's the life, Jesus. That's the power in the blood of Jesus, is the eternal life that he possesses. Now, I'm not saying he gave that up. I'm just saying that was part of the reason why the blood of Christ has the power that it has. And so whether I'm the 1 millionth or the 5 billionth person who gets put in that water, there's still plenty. Matter of fact, what does John say? In 1 John chapter 1, he says he is the propitiation of our sins. Chapter 2, he is the propitiation, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. That's how much power is in that blood. So when I enter the water of baptism, God goes to work on me. Just like he did in Genesis chapter 1. It says God created the heavens and the earth, and on each successive day, he brought order out of that waste and void that he started with. That's exactly what he did with me. I was dead in my sin. You were dead in your sins. We were spiritually dead. We were children of wrath, even as the rest. We were just completely disgusting to God. Enemies, Romans chapter 5. Sinners, without any love or devotion for him. But in that water, I became his workmanship. You became his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. Well, if I'm created in Christ Jesus, then if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creation. And now it's time to figure it all out, because I'm not the same person anymore. I'm not in the same location. I don't have the same relationships. I don't have the same fellowships. The world is dead to me. Christ is now alive to me. I have now come to the spirits of just men made perfect, and on all the things we've just talked about. So all of this, by going through the water of baptism. And if that seems too much, just remember Naaman. Now, leprosy, cleansing of leprosy, is nothing compared to the cleansing of the soul. But it helps us understand it. So I'm in Christ, you're in Christ. If you've been baptized into Christ, you're in Christ, you will always be in Christ, and every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is in Christ. And if we can allow the old things to pass away and everything to become new, then we'll be with God in eternity. But that's what the next lesson is going to deal with. How do we do that? He's brought me here by grace. Now I've got to make it real. I've got to turn myself into that person where the old things have passed away. Language is gone. Immorality, ungodliness, wickedness, vile language. All of the old man put off. New man put on. So this is our first lesson. I just wanted to, and most of this is first principle stuff. We're talking about baptism. We're talking about how baptism saves us. We've all heard this before. We've all seen it before. But tying it into the new creation is something that I wanted to do this evening. It's always nice to have an opportunity to talk about the wonderful things baptism did for us. It just, I don't know, it makes me happy to realize a lot more was going on in that baptism than I really understood at the time. But it just gets more and more exciting the older we get and the more we understand. As we pick up our song of invitation this evening, I realize that I haven't really said very much about putting on the new man. But if there's anyone in the audience tonight who has not yet been baptized, think of what you're missing. Think of what hasn't happened yet. You have not been buried with him. He doesn't know you. We are not a part of him. I never knew you is what he says to those people, because we've never had a relationship until we join him on his cross, in his tomb, and in his resurrection. Now we're in fellowship. Now we've mutually gone through the same steps. And he sees me as his brother. And he sees me as someone who's going to spend eternity with him. If you're here and we can help you in any way, we would invite you to come now while we together stand and sing.